8.07 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, glad to have you all along on this Monday. And as we mentioned a second ago, heading straight to the phone lines here and properly socially distanced, former Senator Jeff Sessions joining us now. Thank you for your time, Senator.
Thanks, Sean. It's good to be with you.
Hey, good to have you on as well. Okay, side question, yeah, until we get into the hard stuff here. So what have you been doing, having to be socially distanced at the same time you're running a campaign? How do you do that?
Well, it is a different thing for sure. I mean, I traveled for 18 years to every county every year in Alabama. That's 67 counties and every year. So this is a different thing. So one of the great things is talk radio, probably the best way to talk to the most people who are interested in the great issues of our time. But we've also used conference calls in lieu of meetings. We're using social media and television interviews, some of which I've done from home. I did Neil Cavuto Saturday from home here. So at Fox, Neil and Cabuto at Fox. So that kind of thing is what we're doing mostly. We also have more time to actually begin to study and lay out more detailed plans for what we need to do to get this country on the right track.
All right. I want to talk about, you mentioned some of that Cavuto interview. I want to dive right into it. A discussion of China. And this has been, of course, a discussion of the start of the coronavirus, even though there's a bunch of arguments out there. But let's say generally we believe that it starts in Wuhan there in China and comes from there. And it's now affecting us right here in southwest Alabama. The Chinese, the job they did or didn't do in warning the world about that. What's your take on it?
Well, it absolutely is the greatest cover-up in human history. What they did was so horrible that the University of Southampton in England has concluded, had they told the world 3 weeks earlier, there would be 95% fewer cases. And we are already at, 70,000-plus deaths worldwide, and there'll be many, many more. So had this been stopped early, it would be just a monumentally different circumstances. It's the communist government. They are very, very secretive and totally committed only to the advance in the communist agenda, the regime power. They diminish the people of China's interest and the world's interest. If I could take a minute, let's just mention some of the things that we know already that have occurred. We know that a doctor early on warned about this. He saw it. He said that they should put on protective masks and protective clothing in China. He was hauled in, forced to recant his testimony, put in jail, and I think maybe as many as 7 other medical people were suppressed in their ability to warn the world. A woman doctor recently expressed her frustration at having gone along with this, and she disappeared, and nobody's seen her since. So this is the kind of thing that's happening. They also convinced the World Health Organization head, this Dr. Tedrow, that it could not be human-to-human transmitted. Think about that. The CDC leader from the United States in Atlanta says that it is 3 times contagious as a normal flu. It's the most contagious disease maybe we've seen in many, many years, maybe ever. And they told the world it couldn't be passed from human to human. They expelled the media from China, the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. They rejected our scientists that we could send there. They called President Trump a racist for being concerned about China travel to the United States when he blocked it to protect the United States. They said the United States military caused it. They said there was a report by 2 doctors. One of them had gone to Northwestern University, both Chinese doctors. This report found that the origin of it was likely to be in a lab that was 900 meters from this so-called wet market. very, very close, but they concluded that it came from the lab, likely. As a result, that has been suppressed, and we've not heard from them since, and that report has been taken down, and he was required to stop it. So it is just a amazing thing that a nation that's one of the great industrial nations in the world has participated in this massive cover-up. And we need to know what happened, and we need to know that if they will lie about this, it gives confirmation to the proof that I've seen as Attorney General and in the Senate that China is cheating on trade, they're cheating by stealing our technology, they're cheating in so many other ways. So this is our Sputnik moment, Tommy Tuberville. We need to understand now how dangerous it is, this regime that we're dealing with. We need to act now. We need to commence an investigation. The whole world needs to know just how dramatic was China's deliberate cover-up of this virus, how much damage it's caused both economically and to the world's health. And if we do that, we can put China and America on a far more healthy relationship. Sean, you cannot have a healthy relationship with this powerful nation if we don't do it on an honest basis. Reagan once said, trust but verify. Okay, we can have agreements with China, but we need to carefully monitor those agreements. And if they cheat, if they lie about it, we have to take action in return. President Trump has started to do that. He's used tariffs. Tommy Tuberville said he doesn't believe in tariffs. President Trump has used tariffs. He's got a better deal with China on our ag products, but there's much, much more to go. There'll be years of tough negotiations with China, but we've got to get them on a path that leads them to being a responsible nation in the world, not an outlaw nation.
Senator Sessions, if investigations do confirm that China had major cover-ups in this, and if it turns out that this virus did escape from the lab in Wuhan instead of their origin story that it came from a bat in the wet market, what kind of liability would they be looking at as a country with the virus escaping a lab compared to what they've been telling people that it came from a bat? I mean, the rest of the world would have to expect China to pay up, right?
Well, I think the rest of the world has a right to demand compensation. Whether they can, there's a legal mechanism to obtain it or not, we'll see. But they absolutely, if it were a private American business who covered this up and it resulted in this kind of disaster, American business would be required to pay. So that is exactly the kind of thing we need to know. See, what China has done and the way they've gotten away with so much, and the way they think they can get away with this is just deny, deny, deny. Then they attack us. You're racist for calling our names. It's the United States military that did it. We did absolutely nothing wrong. We fixed our problem in China. It's your problem because you haven't fixed your problem in the United States. That's the way they do. That's the way they always do. And this time, Sean, we cannot let them get away with it. We need to prove what happened. We need to let the world know what has occurred, and we need to reset our relationship with China in the future on an entirely different and tougher basis.
You know, a side note here, Senator, the WHO, World Health Organization, and it's, I mean, some people saying bought and paid for by the Chinese communists. Where do you put that? What do you think?
I think that's exactly true. I know for a fact that China has worked hard in the last maybe decade or more to place their friends in the head of all kinds of international organizations. For example, I attended the Interpol, the International Police Organization, headquartered in France, a number of years ago as Attorney General of the United States. And we got there, the head man that China had got their guy in is to be the head man of Interpol, which was concerned a lot of people at the time. All of a sudden, we got there, he was gone. He was called back to China. He had disappeared. Nobody had seen him for weeks, and he went for months and months. His wife said he was kidnapped, and he was politically attacked by the Chinese government. So this is the head of the world Interpol, is called home to China and disappears, and nobody heard from him for months.
Before-
so this is a kind of, so this guy at WHO, Tedros, was also a person that China pushed to head this World Health Organization, and they have, he's done nothing but be a shield for China. It's incredible. There needs to be a major investigation of WHO and how he could tell the world that this disease was not contagious is one of the great errors in medical history, I suppose.
All right, but before we go to the break, I want you to circle back to the beginning of this conversation for people that didn't hear this. And if the see if I had the numbers right, it was something that if the Chinese would have made people aware, what, 3 weeks ahead? What are those numbers? 3 weeks ahead? And then
yeah,
what?
A study out of Southampton, England, found that if China had reported this correctly 3 weeks earlier, 95% of the infections would not have occurred.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that's correct, maybe, but I am sure there is no doubt that a huge percentage of these infections would not have occurred if they had promptly warned the world, had promptly brought in our scientists to China like a responsible nation, and developed a worldwide plan to contain the spread of it. Great Scott! To allow it to spread throughout the world like it has done because of the communist lies and cover-up and putting doctors in jail and making them recant, their own doctors, Chinese doctors, putting them in jail, threatening them, making them recant their warnings, is one of the, it's just unbelievably improper action for any nation that would act, try to be a responsible nation.
Coming right back. More with Jeff Sessions right here on FM Talk 106.5. Back to our discussion with Jeff Sessions and a discussion of China and their culpability in what we're dealing with now here in Alabama. Senator Sessions, you said during the break we were talking there that you have a plan to investigate China, not just say something about it, but a plan.
Yes. Well, we have a plan to dealing with China. We call it betting on America, standing up to China's deliberate abuses, and what it involves, the first thing is we do need to establish for America and the world and the Congress, who's been soft on this and doesn't always wants to put it off and not deal with it, to bring clear to them just how deliberate the falsehoods were and just how disastrous what they did with this virus has been. And then we need to go into how they've cheated on trade, how they've stolen our technology, how they've cooperated with terrorist nations, and how they're not a responsible partner for us in the globe and not acting like a responsible nation should act in the world. I mean, this is the second largest economy in the world. They have this massive trade surplus with us. $400 billion or so dollars that they more they sell to us than they buy from us, and so it creates a situation where factories are closed in the United States, jobs are created in China, then they make profits off of us, which they're now using to massively accelerate their military development.
Now it seems
a new thing too. So we've got this entire relationship that we've got to wake up and say we've got to reset it. Now, the president gets it. We have this leverage. A lot of people don't know this. We have this leverage. As one person once said, if you don't stand up to China, they'll run over you. If you stand up to them, they will say you're creating a trade war, but we're in a trade war. We're just not fighting. And then he said, China has a lot more to lose than we do. we can buy these products from around the globe. We can make them in the United States, but they are making their profits. Their economy is dependent on selling into our markets. President Trump has already slapped tariffs on them. He's already said he'll do even more, that they're going to cooperate and or end the abuses, or he's going to continue to do so. And so we have the ability to end a lot of these abuses and put ourselves in a much better position and actually create jobs and a stronger American economy. So I would like, that's what we'll be doing in my plan. A second plank we'll be introducing probably tomorrow will deal with not being dependent on China for our medical supplies. This is a stunning thing. Most Americans did not realize how deeply we are dependent on them for 90% of our antibiotics and other key drugs come from China. And so those are the kind of things that we need to do. Then we'll need the additional planks that I'll be talking about. We'll deal with how to end their criminality. Department of Justice, I started a China initiative there, Sean, where there were virtually no cases in the last 4 years of the Obama administration. Now there are 50 pending cases against Chinese entities and 1,000 investigations going on nationwide involving Chinese criminality and wrongdoing by the FBI. So this is the kind of thing we need to wake up about, take our rose-colored glasses off, and realize we're dealing with a cold-blooded regime. It is a communist party regime. China is known as the CCP, the Communist China Party. And that is who they are. That's who controls that company. And these people lie. And it's all about advancing their regime's power, not the people of China and not the people of the world, and certainly not the United States. So we've got to be much more realistic and tougher in dealing with them. President Trump and I talked about it a number of times. I think he gets it. So that's where we are today, and we have this opportunity. We don't need to miss it. We don't need to say things like, well, we don't want to worry about China now.
Well, you just got, we have 1 minute here. So that was what your opponent, Tommy Tuberville, said. We can't worry about China right now. So 30 seconds for you to respond to that.
Well, I just think that he totally doesn't get it. He's also said he doesn't believe in tariffs. He's a 100% free trader. This is the very definition of the problem we've had. These are the people who have run the China policy for all these years. They've apologized for China. They've totally opposed tariffs. They're a 100% free trader. And they don't care if China subsidizes their industry that closes down American factories. It doesn't worry this crowd. And that's where what he sounds like to me. He can, all of his statements seem to a trend in that globalist mindset that I think is not appropriate for America at this time in history. That's for sure.
We have to get you back to talk more about this going forward. Former Senator Jeff Sessions, former Attorney General, thank you for your time. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Always a good discussion with Jeff Sessions. Coming right back, we'll have a great discussion with you as well. Phone lines open for you, 343-0106, 343-0106.
A36 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings, and right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, good morning. So, tell us what's happening over at McConnell. I know the website McConnellAutomotive.com, a great place to shop.
That's where we got to do it. We got to shop on the website, and also we'll bring the car to you. No biggie. You can put a credit app online. Got great deals on those certified used. Got 12-12 on extended on the warranty. Plus, it goes up to 100,000 miles on a powertrain. Trading in a lot of cars now. you know, doing the, you know, buying a few cars. People call us up, give us a VIN number and the miles, and we'll purchase a few cars from you. If you got to get rid of something in your yard, give us a call, 251-476-4141. Don't forget about the 0% for 84 months and the 120 payment deferral. I mean, we got it going on. Just like you said, check it out on the website at McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Can't beat the deals and service at McConnell. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65 or online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Do you think we have time before we wrap up to play some another? We didn't even get the whole song in from Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson.
There is nothing that I want more right now than to hear that song again.
We're going to play some hymnal, some church music here in a little bit from Fred Richardson. That's coming up. Also on our list here, if you hadn't been paying attention, we're all supposed to be under either a state or municipal order to stay at home and a curfew order that came out with Governor Ivey on Friday when she said,
effective tomorrow afternoon at 5 p.m., I am mandating a stay-at-home order for the entire state.
All right. Also, Mayor Stimson talked about the curfew.
It establishes that safety curfew that between those hours, unless there's an exception, everyone is asked to stay at home. All residents, I'm repeating this, in the city of Mobile and the police jurisdiction will adhere to this order.
All right. So with the exceptions, and that's always the question here, the exceptions. Let's kind of break down. Let's do the state one first, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
we'll go from state to local. The order is in effect from now, actually two days ago, until Thursday, April 30th at the end of the month. Who can go out? Alabamians can leave their home to buy groceries, purchase medicine, go out for solitary exercise, respond to emergencies, go to doctor's appointments, travel for work. And that could be businesses or nonprofits that comply with other restrictions. Also, I was asked, what's closed? They got the big lift. Pretty much if you didn't fall under that category right there, you're closed. Except for dine-in restaurants are not allowed, but you can still get takeout curbside pickup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that qualifies as one of the emergencies to be out. But then, this is the problem. Governor rolls this out, and I don't know if it's just because it was time to give it a name because we already had restrictions out there, or it was something to do with maybe some federal funding or something to that effect. But it leaves more questions. My phone rang Friday
mm-hmm.
like crazy, and people asked me if I could hunt and fish. They said, hey, man, can I go fish? And I was back and forth. I said, the way I read that part, the governor said, I don't have it in front of me, but basically you can go out and go hunting or fishing as long as you kept 6 feet of separation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... and if you look at the people that I'm close to, the one person I'm close to on my Instagram over the weekend, that's my daughter. We live in the same house, so she's sitting right next to me, leaned up against a pine tree. We're okay, but I didn't have anybody else within 6 feet. That's the big... So you could do that. So you can still... You can't... Okay, and this is the problem. I mean, it says you should shelter in place, and then it goes down the list of things except for buying groceries, purchasing medicine, solitary exercise, responding to emergencies, going to doctor's appointments, traveling for work or business... But then it says you can go outside and enjoy the outdoors, which I think is great.
Yeah, it says you can engage in outdoor activity, as you noted, if you don't want more than 10 people there, which probably right. you normally don't when you're right. fishing on a boat or out hunting.
And you have 6 feet of separation, which mm-hmm. is really hard to do in a 12-foot boat. But
right.
That's another
story. So it seems like that's fine. And then you also look at the, as far as businesses go, these essential business restrictions. They added there that, even if you don't fall under the essential business category, they said that work-related activities, in order to maintain the value of the business, like managing inventory, ensuring security, and processing payroll, you can still travel during the allotted hours there to get that done. They also said work-related activities to enable people to work or shop remotely from their home, to allow people to buy products through drive-by, curbside, or door-to-door delivery. And then, of course, what we've been talking about all along, the social distancing, work activities that don't require any regular interaction within 6 feet of another person. So it doesn't seem to me that things have changed much from the original recommendations.
Just got a different name from now.
Right.
And now I guess the police can give you a ticket.
Right. I guess that's the big one. They said, what, it's a $500 fine to your business if you're breaking the rules here. But it seems like Alabamians, while the rest of the country will say, look at them down in Alabama, they didn't even have a stay-at-home order until the very end of March, or until the very beginning of April. I think that a lot of Alabamians were already kind of doing this over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you can look at the number of people unemployed, the number of businesses affected here, if you don't think so. A little bit more from what Mayor Stimson had to say on Friday.
A few moments ago, we sent out to the media that the mayor has enacted an executive order, a stay-at-home order for all the citizens in the city of Mobile, as well as the police jurisdiction. This order will go into effect Saturday night at 10 p.m., and it will last through midnight on April 30th. It establishes that safety curfew that those between those hours, unless there's an exception, everyone is asked to stay at home. All residents, I'm repeating this, in the city of Mobile and the police jurisdiction will adhere to this order. Order must not be taken lightly. This coronavirus has affected many of our citizens and has taken the lives of four in our county. I urge all citizens to log into our website to view the order. There are defined essential activities and essential businesses, as well as what, not just the definitions there, but it'll also give you a fairly clear understanding of which businesses can continue to operate and which people can be out on the road. One thing that is not exactly specified in the order is that we have found out and now know that the Mobile County Public School System teachers over the next probably Monday, Tuesday, they'll be going to school to take all of their materials out of their rooms. And we also have a period of time when college students are coming back to our universities to remove the materials, their books, clothes, and all from their rooms. They will not all come at one time. They'll be staged, but that would be an exception to what's in the order. We're creating what we know will be frequently asked questions. I know the media is going to want to ask me about specific businesses. I may or may not answer those because we want to make sure that the attorneys and those that created the order, that we, when we answer the question, we're not going to get conflicting messages on, well, he said this and somebody else told me that. So the answers will be posted on the city's website. We'll be working over the weekend. So if you have questions, you can send them in to us, and we'll start cataloging them and answering them, so it hopefully will cut out the confusion.
All right, Tim, we'll try our best here, too, and getting folks on from the city. It's just like at a state level leads me with more questions than answers. Of course, we got FAQs for the state, and we got FAQs now for the city, and we can go through those.
Yeah, and the mayor's order, I feel a little more detailed than the statewide stay-at-home order. I can tell you those essential activities and essential businesses as listed by Mayor Stimson.
And thank you to the texter that texted me the document that I was looking for a second ago on the outdoor activities. We'll get to that. And Fred Richardson sings. Right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig. That guy, Kane, which, by the way, Kane, have a little extra time here. Can we get into a discussion of what constitutes a hit and run? Can we address that maybe? Got a little extra time on our hands.
It's
also,
a felony, right?
Yeah, I would think that's kind of how I have it. Just want to make sure I understand how many of those go on per morning. Plus, in addition, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, says some rain in the forecast. A good thing is you can hear me that in Corona, that's pollen. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we get a wash down. We got some Saturday night, get a little more wash down coming hopefully tonight and a couple nights this week.
Oh, it was nice this weekend, though.
I mean,
obviously the rain would have been nice to wash the pollen away, but good cloud coverage for a lot of the weekend and nice warm temperatures.
We got that rain Saturday night.
We did, you're right.
So you have, watching that, I put a bunch of soybeans in the ground, so I was watching that desperately, hoping for it. And it was a win.
And by the way, if you want to see pictures of the soybeans, was it of getting ready to plant soybeans? soybeans. You had it on Twitter, is that right?
I don't know. Maybe on my Instagram. Maybe I'll share it there. That was liming. That was liming the field, putting
just preparing,
yeah, getting the pH up on that dirt. Some of the weekend stuff. Oh, by the way, thank you, whoever sent this to Steve. Steve, that's classic. I love this. He says, sends me a picture. Maybe we'll put this on Twitter. The original curbside pickup has a picture of the Peanut Man standing right there at the cannon at the loop. Back in the day, that was curbside pickup. All right, I'm going to go through a couple texts and calls real quickly because I do want to get on there our musical accompaniment this hour. Something I picked up over the weekend. All right, James in Mobile up next. Hey, James.
Hey guys, this is James the Engineer. I just want to, you know, remember I talked to you earlier the last few weeks, you know, going back to Louisiana and the way it was going. But I have my opinion that about why we're escalating the way we are. I don't know who is worse between Biloxi or Mobile, but either way, you know, my personal opinion would have been to activate the National Guard on the borders, in other words, Alabama, Mississippi, and Alabama, Florida. But a lot of people have an attitude that they don't want to be locked down or National Guard come in and rule over. And it's terrible. If you're going to complain about the virus or have a relative that you're upset about because of their death, we should put these things in place. But my personal opinion would have been to give them the mask, give them antibiotics or whatever they would need to be on the border areas like that. And the other thing is people have been crossing over. That should have been stopped right there. Anybody, going back weeks ago, you're not going to believe this, up in Tillman's Corner, a lady working on the gas stations was coughing up a storm. I mean, she was there for hours doing this. Same way in a Winn-Dixie store. Now, they don't mean they have it, but mine is the people that worked at the store should have been the ones wearing some sort of a mask. So if they were people that could get it but become a carrier and pass it to somebody else doing change and stuff. I have a whole guideline stuff, but I'm not going to go on a whole bunch of stuff with you guys because I know I can get rattling there. But I'm just simply saying that there's so many things that could have been done. Too little, too late. Our testing should have been weeks before now, and they have not done this. If they would have implemented this weeks ago and got this really started, I mean, really escalated. But my personal opinion would
have
been
to call
out the National Guard for the borders and to help set these areas up. A lot of people that now cannot go to a local store, maybe get meats and stuff, something close by, will have to go to like a Winn-Dixie. If they live up in the back roads, I say back roads like Moffett Road, going out towards West Mobile, and the same way in Mississippi, they're going to go find food. And these back roads are not being monitored, and it can be anybody. And I really believe a lot of people have come out of Louisiana to relatives in Mississippi and Alabama that probably are carrying it.
Okay, and we'll have to see. There's a lot of questions there, James. I just like the fact that Moffett Road, y'all are back road now. James, appreciate the call. I don't, you know, you call up the National Guard, but what do you call them to do? That's the question. Are they going to stop people 100% at the border? I mean, look at what they're dealing with in Florida, and all they're doing is asking some questions, and they're getting pushback.
Yeah. I will say I went to a Winn-Dixie this weekend here in Mobile, and, I mean, they were doing everything by the book, exactly how you'd like them to. Everything you can wipe. They were wiping down carts. You can wipe down carts, keeping a number of people that came in, glasses in front of the cashiers there. I mean, everything was spectacular there. And I know that a lot of our local businesses are taking those same precautions right now.
Yeah, looking at this text from Michael, can I take my family for a boat ride? Michael, the way I understand it is yes. Yes, if you got your family on there. And then I would say, you know, the 6 feet of separation. I mean, I think that has to apply to people who aren't inside your house because by nature, you're already within 6 feet, which I told you is bad for anybody with a 12-foot boat. It's not fair. 12-foot boat owners should be thinking about, you know, some kind of injunction against the governor. This texter had sent me earlier this note. This is what I was talking about from Outdoor Alabama News. Said outdoor recreation in Alabama is considered an essential activity in the order of the state health officer that was issued April 3rd. That means outdoor activities such as hunting, fishing, trail use, boating, and paddling can still be enjoyed by all Alabamians as long as the groups are kept to 10 people or less and a consistent 6-foot distance between persons can be maintained. Additionally, most Alabama state parks, including campgrounds and associated facilities, remain open with some exceptions. We got a note here. This is sad. I love this place. So, Blakely.
Yeah, press release. Blakely State Park right there in Spanish Fort. They are temporarily closing because of the COVID-19 crisis. They said here the park closed out of an abundance of caution in order to protect guests and employees and hope to reopen as soon as possible.
All right, so we don't run out of time. We got to get to this before we wrap up. The musical accompaniment for today, pick this up off the Facebook page for Mobile City Councilman Fred Richardson. He posted up a little singing this weekend, a little hymnal, a little word to the folks.
That is the virus here in our city. It's spreading like wildfire. In fact, we are under a quarantine at this point. And not only is it in Mobile, Alabama, it's across this nation and indeed the world.
Global.
And the song that's playing is asking God not to pass us by. And let's see what the word's got to say. Lord, have mercy. Calling his name.
To that as we wrap up Mobile Mornings on this Monday. We'll be back in 3 for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher Show is on next. Remember, what you need from us, COVID-19 local news, interviews, all that kind of information, latest news on our website, fmtalk1065.com. Bye, y'all.